Embrace the Word for Wednesday, July 8, 2026. Embracing Psalm 87. Psalm 87 offers a stunning declaration concerning the certainty of Jerusalem's future. Zion is celebrated as the city of God. Psalm 87 resumes the second collection of psalms by the sons of Korah in the Psalter. A Psalm of the Sons of Korah, a song. While the superscription does not offer any historical details, the placement of Psalm 77 in Book 3 of the Psalter helps to make some sense of its setting. While most of the psalms in Book 3 express deep sorrow over the devastation that has come to Jerusalem, there is a special emphasis upon the destruction of the temple. Perhaps Psalm 87 was composed and sung during the period of Israel's exile. But whenever it was written, it expresses an assurance concerning the future that the Lord has for Zion. Psalm 87 shares an important link with Psalm 86. Psalm 86 speaks of the nations coming to worship the Lord. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord. 86:9. Psalm 87 expands on that point by explicitly identifying some of the nations. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. 87:4. The language and imagery surrounding Zion in Psalm 87 shares much in common with the language and imagery of Psalms 46 and 48. These common links include the Holy Mountain, 48:2 and 87:1, the City of God, 46:4, 48:1 and 8, and 87:3, Knowing God, 46:10 and 87:4, the City of God, the City being established by God, 48:8 and 87:5, and the water that refreshes the city, 46:4 and 87:7. Psalm 87 begins and concludes with a focus on the city of Zion, 87:1-3 and 7. And in between, it references the children of Zion, 87:4-6. Psalm 87 opens with a declaration of the Lord's love for the city that he founded. On the holy mount shall stand the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. 87:1-2. Jerusalem, which had been destroyed along with the temple by the Babylonians in 586 BC, is nevertheless being declared as the city of God. These statements about Zion, founded on the holy mountain, seem to be referring to a city that has not been destroyed. The Babylonians had destroyed the earthly city of Jerusalem, but there still stood a heavenly city of Jerusalem that is indestructible, for it is the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. See Hebrews 11:10. On one day, this heavenly city will descend to the earth. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. See Revelation 21:10. The future anticipation of a new Jerusalem fills the hearts and mouths of God's people to say wonderful things about the place which is specifically designated as God's city. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Selah, 87:3. Whether it is called Jerusalem, the city on the holy mount, Zion, or the city of God, the glory of the Lord will be on display there in such an expansive way that it will extend to the ends of the earth. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. See Isaiah 11, 9 through 10. Isaiah speaks of the nations coming to Zion. The sons of Korah highlight some of the nations by name. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say, 87:4. In Zion, there will dwell not merely Israelites, but Egyptians. Rahab is a way of referring to Egypt, the nation who had held Israel in bondage previously. Babylonians, the very people who destroyed Israel and carried many Israelites off into present bondage. Philistines, who were persistent nuisances to Israel, as well as those from Tyre, a persistent wealthy seducer to Israel, and Cush, which often refers to far distant lands. Whatever their nationality, the residents of Zion will be those who qualify for the description, those who know me. They will be in Zion to worship the Lord, for they will possess a personal relationship that will be given to them in the new covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. See Jeremiah 31:33-34. What is more, these Gentile nations who truly belong in Zion, for it is as though they were naturalized citizens in the city of God. This one was born there, they say. The sons of Korah seem to anticipate a curiosity, perhaps even a questioning of what they had just said. So they restated, and of Zion it shall be said, This one and that one were born in her, for the Most High himself will establish her. 87:5. Yes, even though they might have been born in Egypt, or Babylon, or Philistia, or Tyre, or even Cush, they have been born again in Zion. Stunningly, the Most High himself will cause this to occur. The Lord is not only the founder of Zion, he is the one who will fill it with people for himself from among all the nations. Actually, this is not a new thing, for the Lord promised to Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. See Genesis 12:1-3, 22:18. And then, as though what the sons of Korah have said still seems unbelievable, they restate themselves a third time. The Lord records as he registers the people, This one was born there. Selah 87:6. Not only will the Most High himself establish the reality of the Gentiles' residency in Zion, he is also what they might describe as the official birth registration recorder. The imagery used here suggests what is taught elsewhere concerning a book in which God names those whom he gives eternal life. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. See Isaiah 4:3. The Lord loves his city. 87:1, and he loves the citizens of his city. The Lord makes his people happy in their worship of him. Singers and dancers alike say, All my springs are in you. 87:7. The Lord supplies his people with springs of joy and salvation and provision and hope, and his people celebrate all the blessings they receive. As we reflect on Psalm 87, we can consider how the Lord Jesus Christ has provided access to the future Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. See Hebrews 12:22-24. The new covenant that Jesus has mediated through his shed blood has given access into the heavenly Jerusalem. Access is granted through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Such access grants immediate dimensions into the presence of God, as well as an assurance of future further dimensions. An immediate dimension is the present reality of the statement, "All my springs are in you," 87:7, being an experienced blessing as a result of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See John 7:38-39. The glorified, risen Lord Jesus is the internal spring of satisfaction and strength through his Spirit. The future and fuller dimensions of dwelling in the presence of God help describe the destiny of all who trust in Christ. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man.'" See Revelation 21:1-3. That's all for Embrace the Word for Wednesday, July 8, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Friday, July 10, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 88.